Thank you, Brother Jeremy. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the service. Thankful for this opportunity. Truly, we are in a great church. I feel like it. We have got the greatest church and the greatest pastor of all the movement. That's my opinion. I think he's proved out. You can see how God is blessed. But I won't keep you standing too long. But turn your Bibles to Revelations, the third chapter. And we'll read one verse of Scripture. And I'm going to pull out a phrase and try to preach on that tonight. Felt like going this way. I tried come back to zigzag and pursuing to overtake you and get you blessing, but that didn't work, so we're going this route. It's always good to know that, feel that you're in the will of God, but sometimes you think you want to go away, but this hasn't left my heart, so this is what's been on my heart. Him that overcome will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he that shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And pulling that thought out, I will make a pillar. I will make a pillar. You may be seated if you would like. Preaching about pillars. Needful. I was able to testify about it Sunday night. And one of them didn't feel like it. But 98, I preached about searching for the pillars, and I could get real close to where I was at praying right over there, about 15 feet from that door. It was when, before they redone it, that the Lord dealt with me about that, about searching for the pillars. And that's been almost 19 years ago, maybe a little over 19. But pillars, we need some pillars. We buried a bunch of the pillars. I've seen them. They've left. One by one, they're flying away. This might not be as easy to preach as you think, but this is Jesus said, he that overcome, will I make a pillar. Right. And we know that we're in a fight for the very soul of the church in America. We know that. And we know that a pillar is a support. I come out of the mining industry, and I know a little bit about pillars. I've seen them. We done some pillaring, and we done some robbing. I've seen a little pressure in there that they had on this one, on a long wall section, they had a yield pillar. And that's what it was designed to do, to yield. And then they had a embankment pillar, was a larger pillar that was for support. And they took the large pillar out. It was 750 feet long. And it was called a barrier pillar. And that's what we mined. But we come up and they had that yield pillar was on the one side. And the support pillar was the way we come in. But that's what it done. That yield pillar, it was designed to do that and let it ease, and it done that. And that support pillar, it was supporting a lot of weight. But I got to thinking, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, we're going to be facing more opposition. We're going to be facing a lot of opposition, more than we are now. And I'll be honest, I don't know that we are ready for the fight that we're going to be facing. But I thank the Lord. I can see that Brother Ryan and Brother Ralston is ramping up the preaching. And you can tell that it's going to, we going there. We're going to be ready, but we are in a fight. And we're going to need some men that's got some support that they're not going to run when the battle comes. There's a battle coming. You're not going to leave this world without a battle. There have been too many. It's been there. But Jesus said, I will make you a pillar. If it was ever a day that we need younger people to pick up the pace. And it's John F. Kennedy made a statement, I think it was in about 62 when he made that speech. He said, if not us, who? And if not now, when? But time is running out. We're here. Brother Havis Crawford said it. He is pastor of a church in Oklahoma, and they was saying needing to build a new building. And he said he kept saying, well, when we going to build? And they said, well, I don't know when they going to build. He said, you know, he got up at the pulpit and he said, I've considered that they are not coming. We going to have to do it. And I tell you, that's about where it is right now. We going to have to be the pillars. The older saints have done run their race, and we're going to have to pick up the pace. And I think God is trying to make some pillars out of some men and some women. There's some women that needs to be prayer warriors. We just Brother Steve buried his mother, and the way I didn't know a lot about they was saying that, but how that she had been a prayer warrior and how that she was a pillar and her run her race. But who's going to step up? That's my thought tonight. When we get down to where the rubber meets the road and we're there, a pillar is a upright support for a superstructure. And this is the one I really like, this definition. One that standeth alone. Now, it might be one that God stirs to be the pillar, but I'm telling you, we need a pillar to come, and we get one, and then another one will come along beside it. And then it kind of gets more, and the more you get, the more, the stronger you get, the better it feels. And you look around, there'll be three or four more, and it kind of just catches on, and it just keeps coming on. And that's what we need. I think it, in a day that we live, I got a question. Is being silent and not to being just coming there and coming and going and not taking a part and not feeling the pressure to be a part, where do we stop at? Or the thing that we are facing? We are facing a battle, and time is running out, and the Lord is soon to come, and the fight is coming, and some people is just sitting there, and they're just easing around and letting somebody else do it. But I'm telling you that a firm, upright support of a person that we need, somebody that's going to take and say, I'll do it. I'll take it's my job and my responsibility. I'll take the heat, and I'll step out and say, I'm not going alone. We need some men in this day that is not going to run. It's going to stand the course of time and say, I'm not going along with the culture. I'm not going along with what the world wants. I'm telling you that we need some men that's going to step out and say, I will support the church. I will support the pastor. I'll be here on time, and I'm going to be here faithful. If you want to be a pillar, you got to first be faithful. You got going to be anyway. You have to be faithful to your job. If you're not faithful to the job, you're not going to have a job too long. That simple. But you might come and go, but this place is too precious. I know a good man, and I got to thinking about this, and should I use it or should I not use it? But this thing got in him. He's a good man. If some of you might even know him. But he's a great preacher. But one thing that I noticed in his life, he lost his son. And I got to looking, and I've done some analyzing. why did he lose his son? But I got to realize that every time they had a church that had a little bit of problems, he felt led to go somewhere else. I mean, he's a good worker, but he always felt led to go somewhere else. He never felt led to dig down and get some roots and become a man and say, I'm not going to have that. This is our church, and we're going to stand, and we're going to be with the pastor. We going along and we going to be faithful. I'm not doing that. But he was always running. He run, Brother Jeremy. He would go to this church, and if they had a little scuffle, he'd go somewhere else. And I got to thinking, you know, he got in his son. If you looked at his son today, if we brought him up as an example, you would say that he's a heathen, and he never was in church. I mean, he don't look like it. He don't look like he's ever see a church house, and he don't act like it. He won't have nothing to do with church. And I got to thinking that unstableness God and his children, and our unstableness, if we don't become pillars, and we don't get stable, and we don't know what we believe, and we don't stand for the word of God, and we don't carry the burden of the church, it's going to get in our children, and they will be unfaithful to the house of God. Not all of them, not everybody's children is not everybody's children has left was the cause of that, but I'll tell you, he lost his son. He was unfaithful and unsteady, and you could not count on him. When you get in trouble, you got to have a support. When you need it the most, if it lets you down, it's not a good support. Yeah. You know, I told you a little bit about it, but they pulled that 750-foot piece, and they had hydraulic shields, and they let it down and moved up. I mean, they supported the top, and they kept the roof off of you, and it fell in behind you, the great weight of mine. But if it does not let you, it didn't hold it up. It's not, it's coming down on you. Every time that you get in a bind and you look around and say, where's he at? And say, well, something come up. I'm telling you that if you got a desire, B.P. Carroll, some of you might have heard of him, might know him. He was out of Texas. He said, behind every excuse is a lack of desire. And I thought, that is true. I wish I'd have come up with it, but behind every excuse is a lack of desire. If you want to get to the house of God, you know, I know it don't snow down here much. I know that. But I'm telling you that when a little skip of snow comes in eastern Kentucky, they get so, you know, something, they get so afraid. I said, I've seen them drive. I've been pushing snow with a bumper and keep going to the house of God. I'm talking about some men that will not quit. That's what I'm looking for. I'm searching for a pillar in the house of God. That's what we need. We got enough pillows, but we need some pillars that will stand and support and say, I'm going with the church. I'm going to stay with the church. I'm going to live, die, seek, or swim, and mean it with your heart that you're going to stay here. This is where I'm at. This is the church where the Lord sent me to work. This is where I want to be. Brother Brent said he wanted to come to the house of God. You ought to get ready. There was a guy that got saved late in years. He was getting older then when he got saved, and he got Alzheimer's, but he wanted to go to the house of God. He'd go in there and get ready when it wasn't church night, but he was sitting on the front porch ready to come, and he went in and asked his wife, said, where they at? Why ain't they coming? He wanted to go to church. I'm telling you, when you get saved and you become a pillar, you can grab one or two and start pulling with you. You know, when you get fired up, you get, well, it's like a tractor. You get one of those diesel tractors, you get it cranked up, and you drop that plow, and he'll just go to plowing. I'm telling you that a diesel just torques up. That's what they like to do, and they like to run. That's all that they kind of like that, and they just keep going. I'm telling you that if we get excited about the house of God and we become a pillar, there's nobody going to stop us. We'll be here. L.L. Collins,
Brother Ryan told about L.L. Collins. He had a stroke and wanted to get to the house of God. He come in driving on a rim. He kept driving, Brother Mike. He was a tire that had a flat. He kept driving and the tire went off and drove in on a rim. Bill Houston come driving in. I'm telling you, they sometimes we come in a time and you say, I've got a desire to go to the house of God. You get there. Brother Bob would walk. I'm telling you, you walk in a 100-degree day, you start set out time to walk to church, you got a desire to be here. We need some men with that desire that will not quit. I grew up with some men that would not quit. Brother Mike, they was men and they meant what they said and they said what they meant and they would not quit. They was steadfast. They was there. You could count on them. There was one, I was in church there and I was a small boy. And it was supposed to get bad, and it was in eastern Kentucky, and it gets slick. It's slick like it is up north. It got snow, and this guy told that pastor, he said, Brother Pastor, he said, if you want to have church, he said, I'll put my chains on, and I'll be there. That might not mean much to you, but that meant a lot to me. I was a little boy and I said that and it made something rise up in me and give me a desire. I tell you, when I got saved, Brother Micah, I've had a desire to come to the house of God. I'd like to be a pillar. I'd like to be a good man and stir somebody that would have a love for this place and have a desire to be a pillar in the house of God and not worry about who don't like it. It's our responsibility to be here, and it's not our responsibility to make people come. We can ask them to come, but if we're here and we're steady and we don't care what nobody else says, what nobody else does, what nobody else thinks about it, we've got a desire to come to the house of God, and we're going to be steady and faithful. God will bless us. He's going to bless His church if you're faithful to the house of God. That's the first step in becoming a pillar. Oh, God. Galatians 2:9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto them. I like that. I read that day. And they said, seemed to be pillars. I think they was pillars in the church. They was pillars. That's James, Jesus' brother. Herod had done killed James, the other James. He done killed him by this time. But now this is James, Jesus' brother, and he was a pillar in the early church. And he was there faithful. And he said it seemed to be, it was there for a support. And just showing up and saying, I'm here. I'm accounted. I'm for you. And holler amen every now and again. I'm telling you, that means something. Oh, God. We need to be, I like this. I'm going to turn and read in Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. I'm seeking, God told Ezekiel. He was seeking. He's looking. He's searching. He's looking for somebody to be a pillar to stand in the gap. And it was a day like it is now. And God said he didn't find one. I wonder if he can find one here. He said, I'm looking. I've come here and I'm searching for a man to stand in the gap. I mean, a man that'll be faithful. It'll come and not give in. And don't worry about what they're thinking down the street. Don't worry about what society says. Yes, we're in a sick society. Yes, society is not where it needs to be. But we can be what we need to be. I'm telling you that the church can change society. If we get it hot enough and we become faithful, I'm telling you that if we get it hot enough, there'll be some that'll come over and see what's going on. There's some that'll come to the house of God and get saved. But we're going to have to be one of those that's going to be a pillar in this day and hour. The church, the world has seen so much up and so much down, and they don't seem to have a desire to come here. We need to be faithful. We need to be one of those that is a pillar, and they know your life. Oh, God. Church, we are the fight of our life. Masculinity is under attack. The church world is under attack. There was one guy, he said that gay marriage is the vehicle that's going to destroy the church. Jay Knowles was the man that said that. He said that in 2014, I believe it was, he made that statement. And I thought, that ain't the fight. The gay marriage is not, the same-sex marriage, that ain't the fight. Their fight is with us, that they picked the fight and they want to be accepted. They want us to accept them like they are. And that's part of their fight. And I'm telling you, they give them what they wanted and they still not satisfied. They keep coming and wanting more. But we're going to have to stand up and fight back and stand in the gap and say, we're not going no farther. We're going to take it back. We're going to stand and we're going to be pillars in the house of God, that we're not wrinkled. We're not quivering. We're not weak knees. We're men. We're men of God. We've been saved. We've been sanctified. And we've been set apart. And we're not going along with it. And we're not giving in. And we're not giving up. We're going to be of heart. And we're going to stay the course. And we're not quitting. You know, they used to people running, and they bullied people around. But you know, I learned something in the seventh grade. There was a boy, they had a place under a bridge, and that's where they went, and they had their little scuffles. And there was a boy, he was pretty good with his dukes, and this other boy wasn't too good, but he hit him, and he knocked him down. That boy get back up, and he'd knock him down again, Brother Mike. He'd get back up and come right back into him. And I said, he come over. And he told me, he said, you can beat him, but you can't whip him. He said, he won't quit. And I got to thinking about that, Brother Jeremy. And I said, if a church of God, man of God, will keep coming to the altar, he keep coming to the house of God, he keep being faithful, he's going to win this thing. It might take a while. I learned a long time ago, things that are hard and difficult just take longer. If we got a made up mind, and that right there is part of the battle, that we've not got our mind made up. I'm telling you, God will help us and give us this victory if we have got a mind to work, and we got a mind that we're not going to quit, and we're not giving in, and we're not stopping. I went to work on a 85-foot boom lift, and they was building a bridge. And they were drilling down 103 feet. They drilled six foot holes in that footer, and it went 103 feet below the riverbed. They had a crane, that big old crane, to drop that bit down there, hit drill, and it looked like a giant hole saw. And some of you might know what it is, some of you probably don't. But anyway, it looked like that. It's about 6 foot in diameter and 5 foot tall. And they'd fill up with clay and stuff, and they'd pull it back up. And they had a barge over there, and they'd sling it out, and they'd unhinge that thing, and then he'd spin it, and it'd fall out. And they'd lock it back, and they'd drop that back down in there. And they'd done that till they got 103 feet. And I got to looking, and I was working and watching. And I said, why are you going so deep? He said, it's a footer. It's a support. He said, it's going to support a bridge. We building a bridge. You know what? That's been a few years ago. Not long ago, I took that old heavy service truck right across that bridge and right down the other side, and it stayed, and I got to realize it. I was glad that I seen how they do that. That's how they build that. They pump out, they build a big old hedge around that, and it's a big area. They drive steel pilings. They got pumps, and they pump that water out of that, and they start drilling, and they drill, and then when they get ready to pour the concrete, that's a process too. They come out there, and they got a little box, and they pour the, they get that concrete truck, they bring that concrete truck across that little dock they had there, and they pour in that, and they put it in a little box, and they put pressure to it, and they check for water, and that concrete, if it's got too much water in it, that inspector will reject it, send it back. It's not right. Then if it don't meet the grade, they check that. And I got to thinking, you know, they carefully build that footer. And they carefully build that support. And they carefully make that. And they make that. And they've got a piece of rebarb around that. And they bring a big old crane over. And they set that big old piece of 6-foot rebarb in a circle. And they got little plastic wheels. And it rolls right down in that little hole, or that big hole rather, and they draw all it, and they start pouring concrete. And once they start pouring, they never quit till they get it up there. And they building a pillar. And I got to thinking, that's what we need. We need some men that's got some steel. We need some men that's got some concrete. We need some men that ain't going to quit. That they're going to get there, and they're going to keep drilling till they hit the rock, and they get on the rock. And they're going to stay on the rock, and then you go upward. They went down 103 feet before they ever started to go up. And once they got up there, it's a big old support. You can go there and look at it, and it's still standing. It's hauled, I don't know how many millions and millions of tons of material that's went across that bridge and down the other side. It's over in the harbor of Beaufort, if you want to go. But anyway, that's how they done that. And I got to say, and that's a pillar. That they built them, and they started from a little bit, and they gained strength where they got 6 put in there, and they made that a pillar, and they took it all the way up. It's about 70 or 80 feet above the water table, but it went down 100 feet below the bottom, and they got about 30 feet of water, so they got a lot of concrete and a lot of steel in that, and it's still supporting. Men, I'm saying that we have got to have that kind of resolve that we're not going to sidestep issues. We're not going to quit. We're going to stay the course. We're going to be here, and we're going to be faithful. And it's up to us men to carry the load. I'm telling you that if God will bless a church where the men carry the load, He'll bless the church a little when the women carry the load, but He'll bless the church. And you know, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not talking about your ladies. You got your place in the church, but God expects the men to do the heavy lifting. He expects us to build a footer. He expects us to have the metal in us that we will take the load, and we won't grumble and complain. We'll do it with a heart full of love. I'm telling you, when we become pillars, it's not too hard to stand in the gap and be accounted and stand there and read and say, I'm a pillar in the house of God. I'm working for my God. And I'm being there, and I'm going to consider. You know why a pastor looks around? He looks over the congregation. He's done knowing. He can look over and tell if you're in your place. You know, there's a place that you just feel comfortable. Most of you sit in the same seats. Most of us sit in the same seats day after day, service after service. But I'm come to stir somebody up. I'm come to see if you really want to be a pillar. It might not be easy. And you might have to lose some friends. And you might have to turn a deaf ear to popular opinion. It doesn't matter when God told Jeremiah to don't look at their face. Don't look at their reaction. It don't matter where they like it. If it's God's will and it's God's word, it'll stand and it'll cash, brother. You don't have to worry about it. It's a solid foundation. But God is looking for some men that wants to be pillars and wants to be a part and wants to go to heaven and want to be a part of this church and be here faithful and committed. When you're committed, you're going to be here. That's it. If you're committed, you'll be here. I know we got some men, and I'm not saying we don't have no pillars. I don't mean to come across that way. But I'm saying we need some young men to step up and become pillars. We need some young men that wants to be a part and wants to be a pillar in this church. God has burdened you. God has dealt with you. Now is the time. You make a start. You get there. It's like Brother Ryan preached that great message about handing off the baton. We're going to be handing you the reins. The lines is going to fall unto you one day. And if you've not been faithful, it might not fall to you. But we've got to have some fresh pillars. We've got to have some that's coming on that wants this desire. Said, yeah, we kind of pick and choose. I can pick this one. That's what, you can't pick them by sight. You can't pick them by sight. It's in a heart condition. God looks at the heart. God, you look at that. I thought a lot about that when God picked David to be the king. He was the only one out of the other six that was working. It's true. He picked the one that was busy and working and laboring. Hey, David had a heart that was for God. I'm telling you, it's a heart condition. A pillar is a heart condition. As I start to close, I got to thinking how Lindsey Savage, I got to thinking about how Lindsey Savage preached about those homing pigeons. And I'm just going to tell you, he got out there, how that this one, he said that this one, that this guy had the greatest homing pigeon breed of all of them there, and he sold a set, and they got out, and they flew straight up and started circling, and they got the cord. He said they struck a cord, and they flew, I believe he said, so many hundred miles straight back to where their home was. And in the meantime, he said they was a homing pigeon that the daddy bird, that they had stole him and cut his wings off, and he couldn't walk. I mean, he couldn't fly, but he took him 60 miles, Brother Mike, and they took him 60 miles and cut both wings feathers that he couldn't fly. And said he escaped his captors, and he walked 60 miles to get home. He said he encountered a lot of things, but he was determined to get home. I thought about, if that bird had enough determination to walk 60 miles, surely the goodness, we got somebody that's willing to hit this altar and become a pillar in the house of God and say, oh God, I want to be faithful, I want to be stable, and I want to be committed to the house of God. I want to be a pillar in the house of God. We've got to have some more pillars. We've got to be ready for the fight when it comes. We're not picking a fight, but the fight has been sent to us. But we need some men that's going to be pillars that won't run and won't turn backs and say, we'll face it head on. I learned a long time ago, you face your problems head on and you got a lot better chance of winning. Oh God, if you'll stand with us, we are fixing to close this thing out. Oh God, I wonder if there's anybody that really wants to be a pillar. I don't know that I've done it justice, but I'm telling you that I'd like to see somebody step up and be a pillar in the house of God. Some young men. Oh God, Father.
I come before you again this night. I pray, God, that you would bless this feeble try, and ask you to bless and help. Ask you to touch our hearts. Help us men to be united together and one accord, and be ready and be laboring. I pray, God, that you would stir some young people up, and stir some older people up, and stir some middle-aged people up. Oh, God, in this day, in this hour we receive, we've tried to sound an alarm. We've tried to preach what you give us. I pray, God, that you would multiply it, and we open this altar and give you all the glory and all the praise for all that is accomplished. In the name of Jesus, this altar's open.